From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Peña with a local and statewide news update. The Juneau School District is looking to some tough times ahead on top of ongoing challenges following several years of budget cuts. Yesterday, the City and Borough of Juneau approved next year's budget for the district. But while city leaders ultimately voted to put more local funding into the school district than they did last year, it's still getting less money overall.
The last few years has been one of kicking the can down the road and playing hot potato with the economic bottom line.
That was Chris Cairns. He's an IT specialist with the district and president of the Juneau Education Support Staff Union. Cairns asked the assembly to approve the district's request for funding above the state cap because he says the district needs the money.
So make no mistake that without these additional above the cap dispensations, jobs will be cut and students will suffer.
That state cap on local funding is nearly $27 million. The Borough Assembly voted to fund to that level and then add just over $2 million more for things like food, food service, student transportation, community schools, and student activities. Assemblymember Wade Bryson tried to trim the district's transportation budget. He says the crosstown busing service for students attending high schools outside their neighborhood is a, quote, financially irresponsible expense.
The cuts that have happened over the last 10 years will be the good old days, because the cuts that come in the future are going to be much more severe. We already know the state's in way worse shape and no savings.
Bryson's amendment failed, and the assembly ultimately approved an $88 million budget for the school district. That includes funding from several different sources, not just the city and borough of Juneau. Juneau voters will likely be casting their ballots on local issues in October by mail. The plan is for registered voters to get ballots in the mail, fill them out, and then drop them off or mail them back. That's been an option for years, but you had to fill out a request to be mailed a ballot. It should be automatic this year. No lines to wait in, no voting booths, no polling sites. On Monday, the Juneau Assembly unanimously called for the switch. They'll partner with Anchorage's municipal election team for help. Anchorage switched to elections by mail in 2018. The Juneau Assembly's action is specific to this fall's election only. City Clerk Beth McEwen's duties include running local elections. She recommended the switch and was largely motivated by risks and complications from the pandemic.
Right now, 90% of our workforce is in the high-risk category for the COVID-19 pandemic.
That is, the vast majority of poll workers are age 60 or over, and the city's polling sites don't lend themselves to social distancing. McEwen estimates it will cost a lot more than a regular election, mostly for new equipment, printing more ballots, and sending more mail. But since it's in response to the pandemic, federal CARES Act relief money can cover the equipment costs. Voting by mail resolves social distancing issues with sending workers and voters to polling sites, but McEwen also needs bigger, secure space to count ballots in. That's one way her counterpart in Anchorage, Barbara Jones, will help out. The clerks plan to do the actual ballot counting in Anchorage's election center. Jones told a Juneau Assembly committee on Monday that her office, mayor, and assembly have offered to help several jurisdictions with their by-mail elections. Juneau is the first to take them up on the offer.
Our first election by mail, the 2018 election, was a record turnout, and we had no ballot shortages, so we did really well that first election.
It'll cost more, but there will also be more voters.
By going to vote by mail, our overall costs have increased, but our cost per vote has decreased.
Thank you, Ms. Jones. That's an excellent way to look at it. I had not taken that perspective, but I really appreciate that.
That was Juneau Assemblymember Wade Bryson reacting. Juneau's municipal voter turnout hit a 30-year low in 2007. That year, the Juneau Assembly changed local ordinances to allow elections by mail, but the option has never been used. 16 of Juneau's 30 confirmed cases of COVID-19 have been traced to the Lemon Creek Correctional Center. Last night, state officials spoke to the Juneau Assembly about what's being done at the facility. KTOO's Adeline Baxter has more.
During Monday's assembly meeting, Alaska Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink pointed out that the cluster of cases didn't start inside the facility, they came from the community.
So these are really more community cases than they are DOC cases specifically, because they're people who are in the community who just happen to work at Department of Correction facility rather than really an outbreak within the correction facility itself.
Since last month, 11 staff members at the Lemon Creek facility, most of them correctional officers, and 5 of their household members have tested positive for COVID-19. Officials say all the cases likely started with one staff member who brought the virus into the facility. Last week, the state decided to test all inmates and staff. Another 63 employees were tested, and another positive case was identified on Sunday. According to the department, 165 inmates were tested and 44 declined. All of those tests have since come back negative, except for one that was still pending as of Tuesday afternoon. Mayor Beth Weldon says she appreciated the information and feels confident in the department's response. But she has heard concerns from the community. People want more information about the confirmed cases, but sharing that information could get in the way of federal privacy laws.
It's frustrating for all of us sometimes that we don't get the information we want. There are laws that are keeping them from giving the information.
Daryl Webster is the facility's assistant superintendent. He told the assembly that they understand that the community would like to know where individuals who tested positive had been recently and who they may have come into contact with.
And so we try to provide as much information as we can that is relevant. We understand people have a need to know. And so within the restrictions placed upon us, we try to provide that. If there's a way we can do that better, we'll certainly look at it.
Webster said each time someone tests positive, any of their close contacts at work must stay home too while they wait for results. That put a lot of people out of commission over the last month.
And so many of our staff were unavailable for work that it was only people coming in on their days off and spending several of their days off each week working that allowed us to continue to operate without having to call in assistance from outside of the institution.
Some assembly members wanted to know whether the department would continue testing asymptomatic people in the facility. Here's Dr. Robert Lawrence, the Department of Corrections Chief Medical Officer.
We do not right now test asymptomatic individuals upon departing the facility, nor do we test asymptomatic individuals during intake at this time. That's something that we are looking at in the near future.
The state announced that an inmate at the Anchorage Correctional Complex had tested positive for the virus, making them the second inmate in the state to test positive. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
The state's prosecutor in Sitka has been charged with assault and will face trial in September. 38-year-old Amy M. Williams was arrested in Sitka on Friday, May 15th, after police responded to a domestic altercation at her home on Halibut Point Road. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
According to the criminal complaint, police arrived on scene and met the defendant's boyfriend, who was bleeding from the left side of his face and had blood covering both hands and his torn shirt. The man showed police bite marks on his neck and right eye and a third bite on his right cheek, all allegedly inflicted by Williams. The defendant informed police that she had tried to physically remove the victim from her home and he had refused. When the altercation moved outside, she told police that the victim pushed her to the ground twice, where she also sustained minor injuries. The couple had been dating since November of last year and cohabitating in the defendant's home since January. Neighbors told police that the couple had been involved in many loud verbal arguments over the last 2 months. Both parties admitted to police that they had been consuming alcohol throughout the evening on the 15th. The defendant's breathalyzer test showed a reading of 0.037 5 hours after her arrest, about halfway below the legal limit of 0.08. Williams was taken into custody and arraigned on Saturday, May 16th, before Magistrate Judge James Curtin. She was charged with assault in the fourth degree, a Class A misdemeanor, and released on her own recognizance. She appeared again in Sitka Superior Court on May 19th and pleaded not guilty to the charge. Ketchikan-based Judge Kevin Miller scheduled a trial for September 28th. Williams was represented by attorney Natasha Norris. Chief Assistant Attorney General Jack McKenna is handling the case for the state on behalf of the Office of Special Prosecutions. Williams has no prior criminal record. This was her first arrest. She has been placed on administrative leave by the Department of Law. She had been serving as the assistant district attorney in Sitka for about 2 years and worked in Juneau before moving here. Sitka prosecutions will continue to be covered by the Juneau District Attorney's Office. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
This is KTOO News.